Blog Talk Radio.
Today is the Super Bowl show. I have CBS Sports Matt Loeb coming on. I also have Defend the Star, Cowboy Insider Joe Corvino coming on today. We're going to talk about the Denver Broncos versus the Carolina Panthers. And this is going to be an interesting matchup. Everybody's picking the Carolina Panthers. There's some people that might pick Denver. I'm picking the Denver Broncos. I'm going to ride the fact that Peyton Manning, with 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions on the year, will turn back the clock for this last game and play his best game, because he's going to have to play. He has to play. This is not a game where you're going to run the ball, C.J. Anderson and Spiller and Hillman, C.J. Anderson and Hillman, and they're going to run, and Kubiak's got this little stretch run playing. You'll be able to run a little bit on this Carolina defense. This is the type of game that Denver has to really, really, really play well. There's no margin of error for the Broncos. There's a little margin of error for Carolina. They can make a mistake or two because they're good enough and get away with it. But with Denver, for them to pull off the upset, everything has to go right. You cannot play like you did against the Patriots offensively. Defensively, you have to. They were outstanding. I was like, this defense is sick, how good it is with Harris and Tlaib on the back end, with Wolf and Malik Jackson and DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller coming after the quarterback. They were relentless after Brady. They saved them because Kubiak's play calling offensively was horrible. They made some plays, but they had to get turnovers to get points. And you can't do that. And Peyton can't miss guys in the end zone like he did against the Patriots. Not against Carolina. You're going to get beat. You're going to get beat bad. But I believe he's going to make plays. Kubiak's going to figure it out. And Denver is going to win the football game. They're going to pull off the upset against the Carolina Panthers, which will not be easy because I'm going to tell you something. Cam Newton has figured it out. He's figured out how to be a quarterback that could run and move in the pocket, but show incredibly high IQ, 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 3,837 yards passing. The guy is really, really – and he's a bull at the goal line where he just jumps over you like Superman. He's playing like Superman. Greg Olsen, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 77 receptions. And Ted Ginn will drop it sometime, but he blows the cover off the defense because you can't – you got to back off him a little bit. If you play him tight, even Chris Harrison to lead, as fast as he is, he'll go past you. And that's their main cog. One of their main cogs of the offense is the deep ball again. And you can't lie to that. You're going to get beat bad. So there are some keys for Denver. And for the Carolina Panthers, I think that Luke Kuechly is the key. He diagnosed plays. He's had a pick six in every one of these playoff games. And the key for him is to read Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's going to be at the line of scrimmage, looking at it, reading the mail of the defense of Carolina. And Luke Kuechly's going to be looking at and looking for keys, and he's going to tell his defense to disguise their looks to the very last second till the clock goes down, and then Peyton Manning has to snap the ball, then he has to go with his read. And then Luke Kuechly, he's hoping he guesses right. And Peyton can't make a mistake. There was a couple throws he had against the Patriots that could have been interceptions that were dropped. They're not going to get dropped against the Carolina. So there's no margin of error for Denver. And then 2 years ago when they got blown out, I think this group that was there is going to be motivated. They're saying, oh, here we go again. The key for Denver is to start out fast because Carolina has always started out blazing. Jonathan Stewart, 80-yard run, long pass, reverse to Ted Ginn, crosses the field, scores on a 14-yard touchdown. They're up 14-9, 21-9, 24-9. Denver has to get the lead, get the ball first, get the lead, and show Carolina you're in for a dogfight. There's not going to be no easy walk in the park. So I'm banking on Denver doing that. It's just, I don't know if I'm doing this with emotion because I really like Peyton and I love the Manning family because everything points toward Carolina. I mean, let's be real. I got to be realistic, too, because they're 15-1. They'd like to have a little better team. I think the Broncos could slow Jonathan Stewart down, though. That's going to be a key because Carolina's the best-ranked team in the NFL, and they average 30 points a game. They're not doing that against Denver's defense. Denver's defense, people are going to see how good their defense is. They've only struggled, I saw, they struggled a little bit against Pittsburgh, and then at Pittsburgh, a month ago, they got lit up. And that's because Pittsburgh had the receivers that could go, that could just get past the Bronco corners. The Carolina doesn't have that, other than Ginn, and Ginn will catch it and drop it. We have one of our esteemed guests on. Hey, is this Joe Corvino?
This is.
Okay, I have Joe Corvino of Defender Star Dallas Cowboys, and I have Matt Lode of CBS of Cleveland, and I have a Dallas guy and a Cleveland guy, and I want to introduce you. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, good morning.
Okay, there's a serious correlation coming here, and it goes by the name of Johnny Manziel. Now, I want to ask you first, Matt, about Johnny Manziel. You were in the locker room with him. What's going on with this guy? I've never liked him, but I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because you know him better than I do. So what's the deal with this guy?
Well, I mean, I think that Johnny certainly has some major demons off the field that, you know, he's going to have to deal with before he plays football again. I don't think there's any question that, you know, that the Browns have had enough of everything that's gone on with him. I don't think that they have really, you know, I don't think we've seen the best of Johnny Manziel, but on the other hand, I don't know if we ever are going to see the best of Johnny Manziel because, quite frankly, I don't really know if this guy is going to be able to turn his life around. I mean, he certainly appears, from everything we've heard, to have an addiction problem. We've already seen it with one stint in rehab. And, you know, it was very telling, the comments of Ryan Leaf, the former Chargers quarterback yesterday, who came out and basically said, this was me, what, 17, 18 years ago, whatever it might have been, when he was in the NFL, you know, kind of looking in the mirror and going down the same, you know, the same road. So, you know, Johnny's been very personable with us. He's been very polite with us for the most part. But at the end of the day, I don't think that an NFL team at this point can really take a chance with him and expect to get much out of him because I think he's got to deal with these other demons off the field before, you know, before he can play football again.
Well, Joe, I want to ask you, you think Jerry Jones would take a chance on him? He took a chance on Greg Hardy. That didn't work out because the teammates didn't really like him. You think Jerry would do that?
I don't see Jerry going that route. If you would have asked me the same question 6 months ago, maybe a different opinion. But, you know, after everything that's now breaking about, it's now moving from partying and immaturity and off-the-field issues to now it's moving to and escalating to now the big no-no of the NFL, and that's putting your hands on a woman. Today and last night I saw stories breaking that the cops are now investigating the fact that she reported that she was hit multiple times after the Greg Hardy thing last year and the backlash that Jerry got with that, along with no production or minimal production. You know, the problem is with today's NFL is almost every crime is looked the other way if you produce. But if you're not producing, it's escalated. So, you know, and Johnny coming to Dallas, barring another injury, is going to be a backup quarterback. So you're not going to be able to produce unless that happens. God forbid he does go in there and throws a couple interceptions, doesn't produce, and you add that in with the off-the-field issues. It just doesn't mix. You know, if it was a a different position that was really needed today, or if Romo retired or if Romo's shoulder was 100% not going to be good, you know, that would be a different story. But I think Johnny's coming into being a backup role. I just think there's too many different options out there as far as a backup role.
Yeah.
No backup quarterbacks are really that great anyway. I think they're going to look at RG3. I think they're going to look at the draft, and I think they're going to look at, you know, some other options. I'm still a defender of Matt Castle as a backup with an extra year in the system. Hopefully, you got to remember, 60 or 70% of most backup quarterbacks don't even see the field. So, you know, prior to the last 2 years, you know, a lot of the backup quarterbacks are holding, you know, holding the clipboard and just standing on the sideline. So to me, yeah, you have to have a good serviceable one, but, you know, you look around the league and you say to yourself, other than Ben Roethlisberger and a couple other options, because of how good their teams are around them, what would the Giants be without Eli Manning? What would the, you know, be without Cam Newton? What would the Patriots be without Tom Brady? You know, the backup quarterback.
You got to have your starters. And Matt, I want to ask you this. Now, something on a positive note: the Super Bowl. You've seen Denver. Denver matching up against Carolina. What's your opinion of this game, Matt?
Well, you know, part of this is the stage too big for Cam Newton, because obviously Peyton Manning has been there before. I think his nerves, while I like Cam, of course, right now physically and even from a game-playing standpoint over what's going on with Peyton Manning, you know, the question will be, you know, what about, you know, the game itself in terms of, is this stage going to be too big for Cam Newton? I mean, to me, he's the NFL MVP this year. He's played, about as well as any quarterback is going to play. The dual threat of him running the football is so different than a quarterback that we've seen at this level for a while, I think, in the NFL, to be perfectly honest. And I don't know how Denver is going to be able to react to that. You know, certainly Denver playing two close games in the playoffs against two good AFC teams in Pittsburgh and New England have earned their spot to be here. But on the other hand, you know, with Peyton Manning, I still think that there's some physical, physical things going on with him. He doesn't have the same zip on the ball. I think that he's going to probably, you know, he's very much due, if you will, if you call it that, to have a game where he turns the ball over a few times, because he did it so often in the regular season. I just think Carolina is the better football team, but I think the game itself, to me, comes down to, you know, does Cam Newton play as well as he has during the regular season? And if he does, I don't see how Denver stops him and stops that Carolina offense.
Okay, Joe, what do you think about that? Because you saw the Carolina firsthand Thanksgiving when they played your Cowboys, so you have a good grasp of the Panthers. What do you think about this matchup?
I couldn't agree more. I'm a big respect and believer and fan of Peyton Manning. Couldn't be a classier guy in the league at his talent level. Nothing would be a better story for him to ride off into the sunset with a Super Bowl ring, another trophy for him, and he deserves it, Hall of Fame quarterback. But, you know, I love their defense. Everybody's talking how great their defense is, but I think people are starting to overlook even the fact of how good Carolina's defense is. You know, we talk about Cam, and he is the MVP, and he's unstoppable. But this defense is putting up points. This defense is stopping people. And unfortunately, as much as I love Peyton, he has been prone to make a few mistakes this year. He doesn't have the same zip on the ball as he used to. And I almost see Carolina grabbing a couple of interceptions from him. And like, you know, like we were just talking about, I don't think they can stop Cam. I think it's his destiny. He's on a mission. He's too big, too fast, too strong, and he's making the tough throws. So you put all that together.
You know, his IQ has jumped from his rookie season to now. He sees, like, he's a point guard that sees the floor better, and that's what I love the improvement. But you're talking about their defense, Joe. Luke Kuechly has two pick sixes in these playoffs, and he's a reader of defenses. I want to tell you guys what Luke Kuechly said. He says, I have to read Peyton Manning. We have to disguise our coverages until the very last second and then get to our base defense, because You know, and there's no margin of error for Denver. There's a little margin of error for Carolina, but there's no margin of error for Denver. They can't make the mistakes you guys are saying that Peyton can make, or they don't have a chance. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. The Super Bowl is such a different animal. I mean, you know, could Denver turn the ball over on the first drive and win the game? Yeah, sure, they can do that. But on the other hand, you know, we saw this 2 years ago in New York when Seattle got the safety on the opening play of the game offensively for Denver, and it kind of was the snowball effect. And you know, that those things tend to happen more when, you know, bad teams per se – I shouldn't say bad teams. That's, don't get me wrong. Denver's not a bad team. But when the team that's not necessarily favored, or maybe the team that, you know – I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Carolina's 15-1 for a reason. They're the only, 15-1 teams are 2-0 in the Super Bowl, and I know those are just numbers, but to me, you know, Carolina has the mojo going. They are certainly a better, I think, football team, I think, any day of the week right now than Denver. So to me, when the team that's not necessarily the better team makes early mistakes, it can tend to snowball, and I think we saw it 2 years ago with Denver and with Denver and Seattle. I think if you're Denver, you need to keep this thing within a touchdown or an arm's length, if you will, by halftime. And you need to hope that maybe you can get that critical turnover, maybe a sack fumble, maybe an interception, a punt return. I mean, you need something to happen in that second half that kind of puts you over the top. And we've seen it in Super Bowls before, guys. The two Giants, New England Super Bowls, we saw it. You know, there's been many Super Bowls where the team that's not necessarily favored sticks around, and by the fourth quarter, something happens. Again, a key turnover, a special teams play,
right,
the
now,
field goal.
Green Bay, Denver.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Denver
exactly.
hung around, and then Terrell Davis took
around.
Over.
Yeah, and that's what you need. If you're Denver, and if you're hoping Denver wins this game, or you want to see Denver win this game for rooting purposes, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. They need to stick around and find a way to make a play or two or three in the fourth quarter, or you know, or early and even late in the third quarter to turn the game around. Because I think Carolina, if they're up 21-7 at half, or let's say they're up 20-10 even at half, I think the game is over.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna have to say before I get to you, Joe, Matt. I think Peyton, they're not gonna be able to just run the ball in Carolina. I think Peyton has got it. Maybe it's because of better weather. He's got to turn the clock back a little. He's going to have to – you can't hide Peyton Manning. He's going to have to make some throws, and Thomas and Sanders have to catch the ball. They drop the ball, they don't have a chance.
No, I agree. You know, this is a game where C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman really need to earn their paychecks, because to me, those two guys, I wasn't overly impressed with them in either of the two playoff games. I know Anderson had a big run in the Pittsburgh game, like a 35-yard run that got him in position. I don't even think, though, they ended up scoring on that drive. The New England game got kind of turned into New England just trying to come back the whole afternoon, and Denver couldn't keep the ball in their hands because they couldn't run the ball. You know, I saw Denver, as you mentioned, firsthand earlier this year here in Cleveland against the Browns. They really shouldn't have won that game. They got, you know, they kind of, you know, escaped that game in overtime. I saw them play Pittsburgh up in Pittsburgh in December, and I know that wasn't Peyton. That was Brock Osweiler, but they couldn't keep a lead in that game either. So their running game, you know, again, as I said, this is a day when guys like C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman, who want to be taken seriously as legitimately good NFL running backs, need to earn their paychecks. Because if they don't, and Denver can't run the ball, and I'm not just talking, you know, 2-3 yards at a clip. I'm talking, you know, maintain the ball when you're at 3rd and 2. Be able to run the football. They're not going to win this football game because I think Carolina is going to get too many possessions and too many opportunities.
Okay, Joe, I want you to give me a prediction.
Like I said, I'm rooting for Denver. I just don't think they have the dogs. I think it's going to be Carolina, and I think it's going to be – I'll give Denver a little bit more respect with their defense because I think that's how explosive Cam is. I'm going to say 27-13, Carolina.
Okay. All right, Matt, give me your score.
Well, I just think there's too much offense on Carolina. And again, I've seen Denver's defense. I like Chris Harris. I like that pass rush. But I think what's going to happen, guys, too often with that pass rush is that, you know, you try to collapse the pocket. Well, Cam is just one of those big, strong Ben Roethlisberger-type quarterbacks that he can run out of the pocket. So I think that, you know, the fact that Denver had such a big pass rush on New England is going to be sort of null and void in this football game. I see Carolina, I don't want to say a runaway, but I see a 34-16, 34-17 type game. I think Peyton rides off in the sunset. Don't believe these ridiculous rumors about him going to Los Angeles. It's not going to happen. I think he does the right thing and rides off in the sunset, you know, possibly to be a general manager or some sort of offensive assistant or something down the road.
Okay. Okay, now Joe, what is your website?
My website is defendthestar.com. You can go on there, Dallas Cowboys related news, stories, upcoming events. We run the Cowboy, we're running different Cowboy events with Drew Pearson, Bill Bates, a bunch of retired players. We do a basketball game with the Giants and Cowboys for Everson Walls' charity. He was the first player in the history of NFL to donate an organ. He donated his kidney to his teammate, Ron Springs. We do some stuff for his charity as well. Great charity. We'd love to have him come on your show and talk about some of the things he's done. A real hero in every sense of the word. So we do some events for him, and we help produce a lot of events for other retired Cowboys, autograph events and basketball games and radio shows, all kinds of good stuff. So definitely check it out. It's www.defendthestar.com.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys, before I let you go, Hall of Fame question. First for you, Joe, does Terrell Owens get in?
I don't think he gets in this time around. I do think he will get in. I think I'm actually a little shocked that he even made the final 15, not because he doesn't deserve it, not because he doesn't have the numbers, but, you know, the Hall does tend to hold back a guy in their mind that isn't a sure-fired first-ballot Hall of Famer, a la Michael Irvin. You know, I'm actually even a little surprised that, you know, the Torrey Holtz and the Isaac Bruces and those kind of guys, Marvin Harrison is now on the ballot. But, I mean, those guys with their numbers are all, you know, surefire Hall of Famers. But they tend to hold back the receiver a little if he's had any off-the-field issues or personality issues or anything like that. And I just don't see T.O. getting in this time around. I think it all depends on, you know, it happened with Michael Irvin. When you fall into a class that's so strong, sometimes it's harder to get in right away.
It's definitely harder to get in. You're right. Now,
right.
Now, Matt, what about, since we're both Steeler guys, and what about Alan Faneca? Does he get in?
I think Faneca deserves it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he played on some really, really good run offenses in Pittsburgh. I think I don't remember him. I mean, I'd have to go back and look, of course, at numbers. I don't remember him ever being very injury prone. I certainly know for a fact he was never an issue off the field in any way, shape, or form. I think if you're going to put, certain guys in, I think the guy that really, I don't want to say turned the corner for me a couple years ago, but sort of changed my perspective of what a Hall of Famer is in terms of, I don't want to say the NFL is easing up by any means, but when they put John Randall in the Hall of Fame, and I mean, I remember John Randall very well, and this is no disrespect to John Randall. I just never looked at John Randall as a, quote, Hall of Famer. And unfortunately, being here in Ohio and having been to the Hall of Fame and covered it too many times, I start to feel like the NFL is almost getting to a point where they know that they have to make this a big event. They want to make this a big event. If they had a season like, say, baseball, where they put in two guys, I think it would lose its luster a little bit. I really do. I don't think the NFL is, you know, necessarily bowing down. But on the other hand, I think every season, 5, 6, 7 guys going in, it starts to dilute the product a little bit as far as the Hall of Fame is concerned to me.
I agree. I have to let you guys go. You guys are fantastic. Looking forward to hearing you next year for the NFL and then Matt for the Cleveland Cavaliers later down the road. Thank you guys very much.
All right. Thanks
for having me. Have a great day. God bless you guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That was Matt Lowe and Joe Crivino. That was awesome. Those guys know football. I do my little fan segment because we have fans that pick teams, and I have a particular fan. His name is John Mahomet. He calls himself Darth Vader, and he has a John, I hope I did that right. But this is what I believe. Peyton Manning will take care of business. He'll ride off into the sunset as a winner. He will retire a winner, and the Broncos will squeak out a tough game against a very game and a very, very good Panthers team. I mean, I could be wrong because all the facts kind of show the opposite of what I'm saying, that Carolina should win because they're better, and Cam Newton is just, it feels like it's his destiny and it's his time. But I'm just going to go with Peyton Manning, and maybe they turn Carolina over a little bit and take advantage of some mistakes that the Seattle Seahawks should have done but didn't, and maybe Denver does. But I still believe there's very little margin of error. Denver hasn't played perfect football. But I'm riding the Broncos. That's right, Mr. John Muhammad, Mr. fan of the Washington Redskins, fan of Cam Newton. You're going down tomorrow, my friend. It is going to be a Denver Bronco celebration come Sunday night.